The word that is translated, and I'm giving this to you from the New King James Version, that's translated there as godliness, is translated in godliness. I actually looked at about 60 different translations. I can do that real easily because I have a Bible app that just pulls them all up and you can look through all of them. And out of those 60, I didn't count, but probably 50 of them translated the same way, godliness. And that works very nice because most of us have a general idea what that means and understanding. But then God had me go back to the Greek word, because we're in the New Testament, that is translated as godliness there. And the first word in the definition it uses is one that in church settings we've all heard. Outside of the church, probably not so much. And we may not have quite as a clear understanding of what that word actually means, which is probably why they used godliness, because we have an idea. But more specifically, the word translated there means piety. Okay? So if you know exactly what piety is, you're in this case a little bit ahead of the curve. But for those of you who are not real clear, I went to Noah Webster's dictionary, which I like to do mainly because it was written at a time when he based his definitions a lot from the Bible. In fact, each word you look up, you'll see references to different Bible scriptures. And so as he's presenting his definitions, he's presenting them with godly concepts and thoughts in mind. So I love going to Noah Webster's, I think it's 1828 dictionary. And in that dictionary, Noah Webster describes piety in principle as a compound of two things: veneration and reverence of a supreme being and love of his character. Now that's a mouthful, but think about this. It's the love of his character. Meaning, you're loving him for who he is, not for what he's done. Has he done great things in our lives? Yes. But this word, specifically in piety, it's because we love him for who he is. And because of that, we have a great reverence for him, which is really what piety is about. Okay? So, but looking at that even a little bit more, I went on and looked at a couple other, because I was looking through those different 60 roughly different translations, and I found a couple that God impressed upon me that I should share because they bring out a couple of different points. The Wycliffe Bible, I don't know if you guys, most of you have heard of that name before. I don't know if you're aware that back in the late 1300s, it was really the first attempt to change or to take and translate what before that was never written in English to an English version of the Bible. So it's like the first attempt back in the late 1300s. And as such, what I found interesting is that it kind of presented this same verse, only it presented it with the word piety in it. How all things of his godlike virtue that be to life and piety. So thinking about that godlike character and loving him for who he is. And then we're going to take it to one last translation. Now I will also tell you that I often, when God directs me, I like going to what I consider to be more specific or maybe more tightly translated from the original Greek or Hebrew than whatever it is I may be reading. But every once in a while, God will take me to a translation. How would I put this? Not being demeaning of anyone or any person, or if you happen to choose this Bible translation as your choice, they can be a little looser in translation, and which therefore in my mind then leads to some possibilities of you being able to think some things that the Bible really didn't say, because they are a little looser. But every once in a while, God will take me to one of these and he'll show me something that, yeah, it's there. And this is what it's talking about. You're just not seeing it over, you know, in the more strict translation. And that was the case here. As soon as I read it, I go, yeah, that's the result. That's what it would look like. And so he had me look at the Voice translation. I don't know if any of you have ever gone there, looked at it or not, or if it's your regular Bible. I have very seldom ever been there, is all I will say. But in this case, the Voice translation says this: His divine power has given us everything we need to experience life and to reflect God's true nature through the knowledge of the one who called us by his glory and virtue. It stood out to me that he gives us, through this knowledge of him, the ability to reflect God's true nature. And that's what I've been talking about, that when we go and spend time with God, it says that through knowing him, we can then leave that alone time with God and go out into the world and be more like him. Why? Because we've got to know him. It's just like any person, you can know of a person, you can meet someone in church and still never really know them.
That's right.
The only way you get to know them is by spending some time with them, alone, you and that person. I get to go on mission trips and say on this last trip, for example, I had known Adrian Rott before, Pastor Sidney Rott over in CWI, his son, I'd known him for years, okay? But when I spend a month with him all day, every waking hour, for a month, now I know him.
That's right.
You know, when you go out into the bush and you're with someone, you get to know them. And that same thing will happen with God. When you go there and spend time with him, you'll get to know things that you just don't get to know if you don't spend time there. And so that's really my exhortation to you today. I'm guessing that I'm preaching to the choir. That all of you do. All I can say is if you don't, then I'm encouraging you to start now. Not based on trying to pound someone over the head. I'm just telling you, it will be good for you. You will see life change. But even for those of you that spend time, one of the things I, once again, constantly ask God, okay, I popped in this morning for 10 minutes, and he will actually, sometimes I don't even have to ask this. He'll go, you know, you should really spend more time than that is what I will get, you know. And other times I'll just ask him, should I come spend some time with you? But usually I don't even have to ask the question. He's just drawing me to him again sometime other in the day is all I'm saying. So this is, once again, I'm not beating a head over you with a stick saying, do this. The Bible says do this. You must do this. It kind of says that, but it doesn't say it that way. It's doing it so you can live life the way God wants you to live life. He knows how your life is going to go well, and it's going to go well if you spend some time with him getting to know him. In fact, it's going to go well for others if you spend time with him. Remember I was saying, I'm not the most pleasant person to be around when I'm not around God. Okay? It really does flow through your life. So this is the starting point of going out and being the church is here in this alone time with God. So it's something that I wanted to emphasize. And I can tell you, I shared this, so I'll keep this really short. Back when I did share about this topic a year or two ago, it's a testimony from my own life. And I've often wondered, does that mean, I'll tell you the end before the beginning. And that is, I'll question myself, does that mean I'm not spending long enough time there each time I go there? Because the desired result, what I liked from this one time that I went and spent time with God, was different. And what I will say, even better than any other time. I don't know if you rate them, but it just stands out to me. Because I had gone, been drawn by God to spend this quiet time alone. And I have no idea how long I spent there. You don't go in with a timer. Oh, my hour's up. I'm good. I can go on now. At least I don't. I don't think it's the way it should be done. I'm done when God says I'm done. But I can remember I had spent some time with God. And I reached a point where I'm saying to God in my spirit, this is so good, I don't want to leave. And once again, in the spirit from him back to me, did I hear an audible voice? No. But what I got was, that's good. That means it's time for you to go. Like, wait a minute. I just said I want to stay here. But he went on and said, in my spirit, when you're at the place you don't want to leave, you're at the perfect place to go out and be in the world and be the light that I want you to be. Like, oh, that's pretty good. I like that. In other words, he's got me to a place where I can be that light out there. And so I went out like, oh, I'm ready for the world now today. And can I say, that's only happened one time. Maybe it should happen more often. But when I did, it opened my eye to something like, yeah, there's a link between me spending time here and me being effective witness for God out in the world. And it was more or less him just in the spirit connecting the two for me in this way. Once again, because it happened that way, I can never forget it. You know, I think each of you, when you know you've heard something from God, it's really impossible to ever forget. When you know it's God, that he's conveying something to you. And so that one stands out to me. So it affects my time alone with him. Next, I want you to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11. This is actually a verse that if you were to go back and listen to Donna's teaching about a month ago, you will find that this was one of the verses that she used. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 11, it says there, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. So I want to, that's the New King James Version. As I told you, I often like to go to some other versions that may even present the word closer to what the Greek is saying. And the ESV is one of those versions. That could name others, the ESV, the ASV, the NASB. They are a little more literal translations. And the ESV puts that verse this way. Seek the Lord and his strength. Sounds a lot like the other one. And then it closes with, seek his presence continuously, all the time. Now, we can look at this as one of two ways, and that is, once again, the Holy Spirit is always with us. And if we are aware that he's always with us, we need to keep that awareness in whatever we're doing as we go through the day. But that could also be read, continually seek his presence in those alone times. It doesn't really differentiate anywhere here that I can tell. All I will say is both are good. Whichever way you want to translate it, do both of them. Okay? In other words, seek that alone time continuously. It's not something, hey, I'll do this day and tomorrow, but I got this to do the next 3 days. There's just not going to be time. Okay? It says, seek his presence continuously. I have found, once again, back to that point that I mentioned before, you give me a few days away from them, I start to look pretty ugly. It's just that simple. And so I need to keep spending time with him continuously. Now, I'm going to do a very shortened version, extremely shortened version of what I prepared for this morning for the sake of time. I'm just going to share with you a few verses, make a couple of short comments, because I do want to close with sharing about a phone call that I had with Pastor Pradeep 2 days ago. We talked for about 40 minutes, and I'm going to add some more to what those of you who were here on Wednesday night have already heard, to be praying for the nation of Sri Lanka, Pastor Pradeep, and his family in what's going on there. So just to finish these few things, going to give you the verses so that you can go look them up yourself. But these are just three things that I found that jump out at me when I go and spend alone time with God, what God shows me about himself. Because it says here, it says through the knowledge of him. Pastor Dan taught that that word is actually probably better translated acknowledgement. And meaning that it's through the knowledge of him, but because you've got that knowledge, you acknowledge that that's who he is. It's like, oh, I see it. This is who you are, God, and you acknowledge that that's who he is. Without that knowledge, then how can you walk in it? In other words, be like him, because that's who we're supposed to be like him in the world. So you need to see God for who he is, what his character is, because he's looking to develop his character in you.
Yes.
Okay? And if you don't know it, it's much harder to walk it out, is all I will say. I won't say that God can't supernaturally have you do some things that you really haven't learned yet, because that'll happen. In other words, you could not have progressed to this point and you'll find yourself in a situation where you need to walk in a way that, yeah, you really don't know what you should be doing. And God will help you through it because of his grace. Okay? So I'm not discounting that. But once you learn it, you can know that any situation you walk into, you go, ah, here's how God would have me behave here because I know him and this is what he would do. Okay? So the first is, I'll take you to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. This is a verse that many of you may know. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." One of the things that I have found when I go and spend alone time with God, is that he strengthens me. If you read through God's word, you find that he has all power. All our strength comes from him. And when I go there and spend time in his presence, I find that I am strengthened to be able to go out and do what he wants me to do. If you go out unstrengthened, boy, that sounds very ungrammatical. If you go out not in God's strength, let's put it that way, you will find that you're going to struggle to do what he has for you to do. I had to stop myself mid-sentence. I was about to really butcher that grammatically. So if God has shown you to do some things, spend some time with him going, build me up, fill me up, give me the strength I need to be able to do what you're telling me I need to do. That's the place you'll find it, is in his presence. Go get alone with him. God, give me your strength. Just fill me up. Okay? For me, when I do this, just to use maybe a literal example, it feels like I've plugged into the power source. You know, there's no power, there's nothing in there, and then I plug right into the power source, and whew, now I'm ready. I'm on, and all that needs to be there is there to accomplish what I need to do. So I can go out full of energy and strength to do it. So that's in my mind, that's where I go. It's like, oh, I just plugged into the power source. He's filling me up, building me up. So next is a connection. Actually, these two kind of go together because the Bible puts them together. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "For the joy of the Lord is my strength." So there's a connection between joy and strength. But what I've found is that when I go spend this quiet time alone with God, I find I leave there full of joy. In fact, it's impossible for me to go there and not come out full of joy. It just happens. Well, it happens because he is the source of our joy. So when you spend time with the source, you can expect, I like to get it this way, you're going to get infected. It just gets on you if you'll spend time with him. And so when I go there and spend time alone with him, I come out full of joy. And can I tell you, when people get around you, would they much rather have you be full of joy or be down in the dumps?
Holy gross.
Yeah, that word. People in general want to be around someone full of joy. Well, I can tell you that when I go there, I'm in his presence and his joy comes. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, 11. "You will show me the path of life." So in other words, remember we're talking about, it's about the knowledge of him brings to us how we need to live our lives and godliness. "You will show me the path of life. So this is the path we're going down to. And in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So when we go there, this verse is guaranteeing us that we spend time in his presence. It is there. In fact, it doesn't even say you'll experience some joy. It doesn't say that. It says there you're going to have a fullness of joy. See, what happens when you're full? I don't know how. Let's see, how literally descriptive do I want to get here? It can't help but pouring out of you. In other words, when you're full, if you just got a little, you can keep that little bit in there. But man, when you're full, it just gets off on everybody. And that's what God intends. Go in and experience this fullness of joy in his presence so that when you move out of there, in other words, he doesn't leave you. He's still there because the Holy Spirit's in you. But you've spent that alone time. And when you go out into the world to do what he has for you to do, you're just going to be full of joy. And you'll find that people are then drawn to you instead of being pushed away from you. And that's really the first step. You can't, how would I put this? Give your testimony or testify if no one's going to get near you. So sometimes this joy is the first step to witnessing, because that's what they're going to see. There's actually a passage, Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. It talks about there, it says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. But it goes on to say, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, if you're out there grumbling and complaining, you're not shining. You're looking just like the rest of the world. And people don't want to be around that. The only thing that's going to happen if you're grumbling and complaining is you'll invite those who want to grumble and complain with you into that circle. Okay? But that's not supposed to be who we are. We're supposed to be lights who shine in the world. And that light is the one who's not grumbling and complaining, but rather one who's walking in joy. The fullness of joy that you can get during that quiet time with God. Well, I'm going to close with one last one, and I saved the greatest one for all. And I know you all know what this one is. And it's like, well, why hadn't he gone here? All of you are sitting there going, well, when I go with God, this is what I get. Because it is the most obvious, and it is the greatest one of all. And how do I know that? Because the Bible says so. So if the praise and worship team would come, because I would like you to do that song, even though they did it at the beginning of praise and worship and at the end of praise and worship, I want to close this morning with a song that they've already done. But I want you to pay, as you're singing it, particular close attention to the words. Sometimes you can sing a song and you're singing the song because the words are up there and the melody's nice. But I can tell you the words pretty much preach the sermon that I shared this morning. Okay? So you can, and oftentimes a song will stick longer with you than the words of my message will. You know how a song can just get in your head and start going over and over again? So I want you to catch this. I'm going to share about the last topic, love. Maybe I should have given you a couple more minutes, but you'll be ready. And then I'm going to share briefly about what Pastor Pradeep shared with me. The last one, I think you all know by now, is love. And love, I'm trying to look and see what verse he had me go to. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Says this, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. That's pretty straightforward. Love is who God is. That's what this says. So once again, if you want to know love, then you need to spend time with the one who is love. Because only there can you get a true understanding of what love is, because he is love. Now, once again, we know that love has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. So we know love is in there. when I read that, what I kind of get is that love that's been poured out in our hearts is God's way of enabling us to love Him and love others. Without that being in there, we would struggle, okay? But the love I'm talking about here in this quiet time, we do love God in this quiet time, but what I want to share with just in closing is that in this quiet time, God tells us in His Word that He will spend time loving us there. You, I, the individual, right there in that alone time. Zephaniah, one of those books, if you're going to, in your Bible, you'll go to the places where the pages stick together. It's in those like last four or five chapters of the Old Testament, and you don't often find yourself as often, so the pages usually stick back there. I think it's like the fourth or fifth in the end. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says this: "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness." Here's the key part. "He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Now, what I will tell you is God had me do a much deeper study here than I have time to share. But in that translation, the New King James Version, it doesn't do it justice. In other words, it's not the best translation in this case, as I found out when I started studying it out, because it says He will quiet you with His love. But if you actually study this out, it's being more specific about what God is doing. So, okay, it says He's quieting you, but it's actually God who is becoming quiet. And you only see this if you study it out. It says, the definition of the word there, the Hebrew word, when you look it up, is actually, the King James translates it as rest. God rests. It says, He will rest in the King James. But that word from the original Hebrew means this: to leave off speaking, to be quiet, to keep silence. It is the place where you can sit and He doesn't have to say a word to you and you don't have to say a word to Him. You just sit there and you know you're loved by God. Hallelujah. And I hope all of you have been there. I don't know how to explain it other than that. If you haven't been there, go there and find that place, because it's a very special place. He's not telling you, "I've done this for you." Is it great to hear that? Yes. It's not you saying thank you for what you've done and loving Him back. Great. But there's a place, and this is what it's talking about. He will rest. He will become silent because He's already done all that He needs to do. There's no more to be done. He's going to sit there and let you sit there and be loved by Him. There's almost no way to put it into words. Here's the last thing that I will share on that, because once again, I like being able to explain things. You might have kind of got, I'm kind of a word person. And when I got to this one, I'm going, what's it like when I'm there? Well, it's quite interesting. It's one of the few places that I get quiet. Those of you who know me will see the humor in that. He can actually get me to just sit there and not say a word. Even though that's not what it's saying here. But it's actually a place where I couldn't speak if I wanted to. It's like, the way I explain it is, it's the point where everything else melts away. I don't think about anything else. I don't think about me. It's like everything else disappears from the picture or the equation, and there's just God loving me. It's all that's left. And all I can tell you is, go there. That's just an encouragement. Go spend this quiet time and find that. And all you can say is, once you experience it once, you say, sign me up for that again. And you'll find yourself going back, because that's where you want to be. So I'll close there as far as my teaching. I just want to give you a short encouragement, fill you in very briefly. on the phone call that I had with Pastor Pradeep. Now, I know that Pastor Pradeep had sent a voice text to Donna back Tuesday, Wednesday, so she could share it and in time with those who pray on Wednesday night. And I know that you did pray for the situation going on in Sri Lanka. And sometimes here in the United States, we can live in a bubble and not pay any attention to what's going on around the world. But I'm sure most of you know they had a huge cyclone. In fact, it's the biggest one in the last 80 years. Okay. And you can read online all the numbers that tell you how many have died, how many are homeless, how many are missing, the effect it's had on the roads, transportation, even getting to places. And all I can tell you is this is, in summary, Pastor Pradeep says it's much worse than anything you're reading online. And see, he has a way to know because he networks with pastors throughout the nation. And he travels throughout the nation, so he has contacts. And he's reached out to these people saying, do you need help? What do you need? I can tell you that he has already done an outreach in his local community. I found out, and this wouldn't have been shared, I think, on Wednesday night because he hadn't shared that yet, that three members of his church have been displaced from their homes. Not members, but families. Two, their homes were affected by mudslides, one from flooding. And the children are living in not homeless shelters, but orphanages. Temporarily, in some cases, the entire family is in like a homeless shelter. So three of his families in his local church have been directly affected. But their whole community has, as the region of Kandy has been affected more so than any other region. They were the hardest hit, and that's where Pastor Pradeep lives. He lives in like what we would call a suburb of Kandy. Sits up high enough, which is good because the water's down here, even though it affects from all the mudslides, all the mountains around it because they're in a mountainous area. So he and his family are doing great. They temporarily lost some water service, but less than a day. They had a water tank that they could draw on from reserves if they needed it. But the God story in that is everyone else lost their water everywhere around him in this housing area that they live, except for him and his family. They kept having water. So that's a praise God thing. But as I said, he's already reached out in his community. But what he told me is, because he's been in contact with all these people, he's going out this week. In fact, 10 and a half hours ahead already, probably within the next 12 hours or so, they'll be heading out. And Donna and I were talking, and it was decided that we would love to take up an offering this morning. Now, most all of you have been contacted by text, if Donna has your texting information. If any of you who have not, all I will say is get it to her so that you can receive. She didn't tell me to do that, so hopefully she's all right with that. Good. That, you know, if you didn't hear about this, get your information to her so she can send it to you. Because what we did is we sent out to everyone so that you would be prepared to give this morning to what we're calling a Sri Lanka disaster relief donation. And it's going to go directly to Pastor Pradeep in order to carry out what God has put on his heart this week right away. So that's why we're only doing it this Sunday. And it's going to go out as soon as possible, is all I can say. Because when something like this happens, the need is now. It's not 2 weeks from now, which is why we can't keep extending this. Will there be a need then? Yes. But there's a great need right now. Okay. He's going to three different areas and three different villages where he's called ahead. They've also had to look because they've had to find alternative routes. They can't get to these places the way they normally do. What would normally take 2 hours is going to take them four. Some other places it's going to take much longer than that. But in one of the villages he's going to, 18 families have been displaced from their homes. They were on a mountainside. That's where their village was. And the whole side of the mountain slid off the mountain. And they're basically in need of everything. So the needs are different in each place he's going. One place, they had flooding. They're going there. Several more families displaced. And their water system was affected. You know, that would actually, the pipes and to get water around to that area. They've got it temporarily fixed, but it's going to literally cost millions to fix it ultimately. And will probably take, he said in our nation, it'll take years and it'll take millions, okay? But there, the one village is going to is they need a water tank and some piping so that people can draw off a water source. Okay, so these are different in different places, but he's aware of the needs. And different churches like us who have contacted him going, how can we help? And all I can say is Donna mentioned to me that last night, Pradeep reached out to her, thanking her for us reaching out to him. He didn't come to us and say, hey, help me. I need help here. That we volunteered and said, we want to show our love for the people of Sri Lanka in their time of need. So I call this an opportunity. There's a box or basket sitting out back. It's more like a box. And there's a nice sign that Donna made on it, so you can't miss it. But if God's put on your heart to give, please put it in there this morning. Make it a separate check, not mixed in with the tithe or anything else, because we need to keep it separate so we know that where it goes, and make Diane's life easy. Okay? We want to do that. Keep it a separate check. Make it simple. She knows, yep, this goes to here, this goes to here. So I want to thank you in advance and know that, how would I put it? Because I know Pastor Pradeep, we have an advantage. If you go through large systems like, and not speaking negative of them, let's say Red Cross or whoever, in some cases, a pretty large percentage of that goes to administrative costs, getting things there. I can tell you, when we get something to Pastor Pradeep, it's all getting used for ministry. And by ministry, ministry is not just to the spirit, it's to the flesh also. I like putting it this way. If the people aren't alive next week, you can't lead them to Christ. Sounds pretty blunt, but sometimes it gets the point across. They're facing life and death situations. And for us to be able to minister them in the future, we need to deal with these things in the flesh right now that they need help with. And that's what we get to be a part of. So to me, I say we get to be a part of. That excites me that we can step in because God's blessed us so that we can be a help here. So that's all I have to share this morning. I'm going to have the praise and worship team, once again, close with that song and let it be your heart's cry. Amen?